The Burt Show.
I just want to give you guys a very quick update. Very quick. Remember I told you guys that my mom sent me that letter?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I know that whatever the contents inside of it are going to be, are going to be really, really hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I have taken Jen Hobby's advice, and I have given that letter to a friend to hold on to until June.
Oh, good.
So, because I've got, you know, I have anniversary, I've got child's birthday, I got just a whole bunch of stuff going on in May. And what Jen said to me makes sense, is that May is such a month for me to celebrate.
Yeah.
Don't even deal with it until June.
Because it was when you had gotten the letter, you still had Mother's Day, you had your wife's 40th birthday party, your wedding anniversary, and too much to celebrate to be upset.
That's what I'm doing.
The Burt Show.
All right, so each of us have written a commencement speech for the class of 2010, and today it is Jen Hobby's turn.
Let's do this. I like this music.
I bet you do. Do you make love to it?
Really?
Have we said why that's important yet?
No, we don't have to.
We still can't? Okay.
That's okay. We just don't have to. Very funny, Jeff. Okay, serious. Graduates of 2010, as we mark the eve of life after high school or college, I'd like to present you with a few tokens for your commencement, for your new beginnings. Life is not a dress rehearsal. This is a quote that was told to me once by my drama teacher, Mrs. Hallmark. She said it proudly and with gusto, as most drama teachers say, almost everything. Well, she wore this saying on t-shirts, and she had bumper stickers proclaiming it on her dry erase boards and cars and backstage lighting equipment boxes. Mrs. Hallmark knew it way back then, and she even tried to teach all of us, but I just didn't get it. What does that mean anyway? Life is not a dress rehearsal. As I scratched my head confused, I just filed it away and I moved on. I chalked it up to many of the things that quirky adults said that I thought had no real use in my life. I mean, I knew everything by my senior year in high school. I took AP courses. I mean, I got good grades. What was some creative drama teacher going to tell me that I didn't know already? Well, that saying kept creeping up in my life even more and more times again, and I simply dismissed it without acknowledging it or giving it any real merit. I didn't have to pay attention to its meaning or really ponder it with any sort of in-depth thought. And then one day, the meaning just struck me. I was driving behind this old beat-up 80s car, and there it was again on an even older bumper sticker. Life is not a dress rehearsal. And that at that point, the meaning became clear to me. This is it. I mean, right now is it. I don't get to go back and do this over again. The decision I make today marks today forever in my life. This is the only chance in life to make our unique mark. This is the only time you're going to be 18 or 22 or 32 or 52. Although the reincarnation believers would probably disagree with me, I just get one shot at this. We don't get to do this over again. Remember when you were little and you played in the front yard with your friends and you tried to do a cartwheel or you threw a ball in some sort of small competition with your friend who lived next door and you messed up and you would yell, "Do over!" Well, guess what? I don't get a do-over, and you don't get a do-over. Life is not a dress rehearsal. So what does this mean for your commencement? It means do something. Do it now. Do whatever your something is. Because dreams require action. Dreams require that attitude that life is not a dress rehearsal. And this is not to say that you have to start big. No, you will have to start small. You will have to work very hard and build your dream. You'll have to wake up each day and put one foot in front of the other to make your dream a reality. Some of the most successful people in the world came from the most humble beginnings, but they never let go of their dream. They never treated life as if it were a dress rehearsal. For example, this one woman, she had a job where she shucked oysters. And then she was once a waitress at TGI Fridays. She was also working as a saleswoman for that clothing retail chain, Merry-Go-Round. Remember them? She worked there at the Lakeside Shopping Center in Metairie, Louisiana. But she knew she loved comedy, and she diligently earned her stripes at small clubs and coffee houses. She toured the country on a comedy tour and then made her first appearance on The Tonight Show in 1986 with Johnny Carson. And now she's one of America's most beloved television hosts and leaders in Hollywood. Her name is Ellen DeGeneres. Want another one? Well, he dropped out of high school at the age of 16 so that he could join the army. But the army actually rejected him because he was underage. So he joined the Red Cross and he drove an ambulance in World War I in France. When he returned home to the United States, he wanted to pursue his interest in drawing and he wanted to become a cartoonist. So he created ads for newspapers and magazines and movie theaters. And over time, this man became became one of the best-known motion picture producers in the world. The corporation that he co-founded today has annual revenues of approximately $35 billion in the United States. His name is Walt Disney. And one more good example for good measure, because I thought you might like that, and I like things in threes. This young man studied hard in his youth and attended college. He initially found employment as a guard at a mine when he moved to Johannesburg. He started working as an articled clerk at a law firm through connections from his friend. After the 1948 election victory of the National Party in his country, which supported the apartheid policy of racial segregation, this young man became actively participating in politics. He led prominently as an anti-apartheid activist and became the leader of the armed wing of the African National Congress. And the South African courts convicted him on charges of sabotage, as well as other alleged crimes committed while he led the movement against apartheid. In accordance with his sentence, he served 27 years in prison. And following his release from prison in 1990, he helped lead the transition towards multiracial democracy in South Africa. This man served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999 and was the first South African president to be elected in a fully representative democratic election. He's received more than 250 awards over four decades, most notably the 1993 Nobel Peace Prize. And in November of 2009, the United Nations General Assembly announced that his birthday, July 18th, is to be known as his day to mark his contribution to world freedom. As you probably have already guessed, the man of these humble beginnings is Nelson Mandela. I hope these few examples of humble beginnings can serve as a reminder of persistence and dedication through your graduation, your commencement, your humble beginnings. It is not a dress rehearsal. It is your life. Congratulations, class of 2010. Life is calling you, so go.
Really good. Really
nice
good,
Jen. Done, Jen.
We're so competitive in here. Jeff and I are off mic.
Trying to guess who it is.
really good, man. All right, all these commencement speeches up on theburtshow.com.
The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear. And it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
The Burt Show.
Poor Wendy and Jen had a really tough flight out to L.A. from Atlanta.
Well, I mean, it's relative, but I will say there was a screaming baby right in the seat in front of Wendy, which was only one row up and aisle over from me. And I felt so bad for the mama because she was trying everything. She really was trying everything to get this kid to shut up. But this kid was wailing. Wailing.
And when you say the whole flight, give us a percentage of time in
the
air.
We were on the flight for 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And about how many of those do you think she screamed?
Two.
Half of it. And how many rows was she behind you or in front of you?
She was one row in front of me.
Right in front of Wendy.
But it was at least 1 hour straight. So the 2 hours comes in just like spurts, but 1 hour at least.
1 hour.
And was it
straight
on takeoff?
Straight.
During the flight.
Because there's
was
nothing
like,
you can do as a parent on takeoff. Because usually, you know, you want to get up and if you move them around a little bit, give them a change of scenery. Well, but on takeoff and landing, you can't do that.
We did have a lot of turbulence. And so they kept turning on the seatbelt sign. And so there wasn't a lot of time that the mom could have gotten up, and the mom had another young child. So she had probably a 3-year-old and then also this maybe 9-10 month old. I don't know.
Couldn't be very old at all, but in
not
the lap.
Not even a year, but just wailing.
Baby was just stir crazy.
Like, it was really, I think, testing everyone's patience. Even parents around, I could tell, were like doing that shift in their seat where you're like uncomfortable and you're like trying not to look over there and you're trying not to roll your eyes, but it's just the persistent screams.
I have been that person before. Oh, I mean, as a parent,
you've been the person with the screaming kid?
With the screaming kid, yeah.
On a 4.5 hour flight?
No, not that long, but even 20 minutes, you know, if you're the parent and you're trying to calm your kid down and they won't, you just get hot all over. You're embarrassed because you've been on the other end of it also, and you know there's nothing you can do, man. It sucks.
It was just brutal screaming because the child, poor child, was just stir crazy. They may have taken another flight before they got on this flight to Los Angeles. Is the only thing I could think, but child was
can't you drug the kid?
Do something.
Do the Benadryl thing.
Do the bottle.
Ambien.
Xanax. That's Benadryl for a kid. Is pretty much.
Yeah. There was no bottle. There was no food given to the child. I was just like something. I was like, I was about to say, let me take the kid, and I'll just somebody new to hold the baby.
Have you been on a flight before where one crying baby sets off a chain reaction of other crying babies?
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
I know there were other babies on the flight though, so that didn't happen. But
no, on my flight, it was just the aisle was like a running. A playground for the kids that were on my flight out here.
Seriously?
It wasn't. They were older. They were, I guess, I don't know. I'm not good with kids' ages, but let's say 5 and 6 years old. And it was a brother and sister. And the brother, especially the mother, let the kids run up and down the
aisle. I'm surprised that's allowed.
Well, I could see kind of like when you kind of read the faces of people on the flight because everybody's, you know, kind of looking forward and deadpan, but then you can see the shifting and like you were saying, and you could tell that there were people that were just like, what is this kid doing? Because the first time, ha, 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 second time, ha, 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 and then by the fourth and fifth time, this kid was
obnoxious.
Like, yeah.
That holds true for the game of peekaboo between the seats.
Yes.
As a parent, just know this, that your kid can play peekaboo for 6 straight hours. And we as adults think it's charming for 30 seconds. And then turn your kid around and put him back in the seat.
Yeah. There's also the careful line. Like when I was flying back from Baltimore a couple weeks ago, the woman next to me had a 2-year-old. And I'm wondering how this 2-year-old was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It
was
not taking up a seat 2 years old, so I don't have to pay for that.
It was a creative. It was
Bert,
a creative
you know that,
too.
You know that, huh?
I do know that. Yes.
So this little guy was there, and he had like his little Ziploc baggie with crayons and cars and like you know
stuff.
A little baggie of distractions. So I made a couple little jokes with him. It was playing with his cars, and then you know I thought I put in my 10 minutes, right? That kid, I was his best friend that whole flight.
Of course you were.
Yes, he wanted to look at all my pictures of my animals and my computer, and I don't.
And you got a lot of porn on that.
Thing, I was going to say, I don't want some little kid kicking through my computer because who knows what he's going to end up coming up
with.
He's
like he's got to learn from somewhere. So,
and so not only on our flight out here did we have a screaming baby
and turbulence
but I felt like I had a child next to me. He was a grown man, I would say probably in his 50s, grown man. Mm-hmm. And you know how you get the peanuts or the pretzels and you get the napkins when the flight attendants come by to ask you what you want? Mm-hmm. Well, this guy thought it was his living room. So he just decided that after he was done with his peanuts, he was just going to throw the trash into my seat like it was the disposable.
Seriously? While you're sitting there?
Yeah. While I'm sitting there, didn't notice.
His trash in her seat.
His trash was in my seat, didn't want to drink, so he threw the napkin up in the air like it was just, he was at home and this was trash
weird.
Day. Yeah, so I like blatantly.
I'm sitting right here.
Can you not see me?
Well,
I tried to make it obvious to pick up, like I literally scooted myself up to pick up the trash and he didn't notice.
He's right next to you?
Right next to me.
Yeah.
That is right next to me and threw all his trash, like it was his living room or his kitchen that he does at home and it was just normal.
Oh, and the guy sitting next to me, because we were in the same row but just separate sides of the aisle, I think the guy next to me probably smoked a pack of cigarettes at once before he got on the flight.
Oh, God.
So every time he shifted, I got a puff.
did you snort his clothes?
The smell.
You just quit
every
smoking?
Every single time. And I thought he was going to drop kick the screaming baby because not only was he annoyed like the rest of us, but he needed a cigarette.
Right.
He needed bad. Really, really bad.
The Bert Show.
I think I'm genuinely... like often in a good mood, right? Like I wake up in a good mood. I'm a pretty happy person in general, and I think it drives people crazy. I really think it annoys. I really do. I really think that it annoys people in my life, and I think that I think that for some of my friends, like some of my maybe extended group of friends, like think that I should be less happy than I am. Let me explain. I know this is really a strange
thing. Such a terrible thing to wish on someone.
I know.
Yeah. Oh my God, that Jen Hobby is too happy. She really needs to have some misery days.
Now let's talk about the levels here though. Is this like I'm seeing you for the first time in the morning and you're overly overly happy girl?
No, I think the way that it's been annoying people lately is that I've been able to sort of move on from some pretty heavy, bad emotional things in my life. You know, I got divorced a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I went through another relationship and a breakup. And I feel like the people around me think I should still be upset by that. And maybe don't give me credit for having gone through the therapy work that I did and really trying to get healthy and really trying to understand, you know, the mistakes that I made in my life or decisions I made or things I went through. And I've really tried to like dig in and get healthy with all of that. So I feel like I have in the last couple of years really worked hard at that and spent a lot of money on that. And I feel like coming out on the other side of that like surprises people. I think people still think I should be upset that I'm divorced and still think that I should be in some sort of like gloomy mood. And the fact that I've like been able to kind of move on, like I feel judged for being happy now. Does that make any sense?
Is it?
Yeah, because is it a case where they don't trust the happiness? They think it's masking something?
I guess. I don't know, but I just feel
Or do they have less things going on in their life that makes them unhappy, and so they're almost mad that you're able to overcome something big, but they're just mad because, like, they got one tire on their car that always goes flat.
That's kind of how I have been perceiving it. And I think it's also like they don't give me the credit for having gone through like all that like therapy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, because maybe they haven't gone through any therapy or know what that's about or know the questions you have to face or talk about or like sort of like it's like I call it like cleaning out a wound. Mm-hmm. Like if you just put a Band-Aid on top of a big scratch that's got all kinds of like dirt and gravel and rocks in it when you skin up your knee, you're just going to have a big old infection, right?
It's
sexy.
But
if you get in there and you dig out the bad stuff and you clean out
scrape
the dirt
it.
And you
get on in there.
Scrape it out and it's raw for a while and it really hurts for a while, but then all of a sudden it heals and it's a lot better and it's, you know, and it's not infected. So I sort of think of therapy the same way as the way that you treat your heart or your emotions or your head, you know? And so, I don't know, I feel like all these people think that I should really be still very upset, and I'm not. I'm in a new relationship, mm-hmm. and I am like in love and feeling so happy about life, and I feel like I annoy people because of that.
If it wasn't you we were talking about,
it's funny.
This would be what I would say, but I've seen the people that you surround yourself with, and they're all so genuine, but I think if it was another person I was talking to, I would say that sometimes people gravitate towards you because you're that kind of person. Like, they're negative, and it makes them feel better about themselves. Not consciously, but it makes them feel better about themselves when they're hanging out with somebody that has a whole bunch of problems. And now that you're on the other side, I wonder if you have to break up with some of those people because you're just not that person anymore.
Right, like a misery loves company thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not miserable, they don't want to be around me?
And part of the attraction...
part of your charm was your misery.
Part of my charm was that part of my life sucked
part
for
of
a while.
Being attracted to you was that you were so bummed, and now you're not bummed anymore, and you're not really fulfilling that need for it.
Because you made them feel better because you were so miserable.
Because my life sucked way worse than theirs for a while.
You should introduce them to Brittany.
But I think part of it is that you explained to a therapist the deep emotions. You didn't explain to all your friends the deep cuts that really went on.
Right.
So I don't think they fully understand that you're in a different place because they don't know the full story and they don't know the full expectations.
That's true. Because only really my very closest circle of friends know the full story
everything.
Or anything that I would share with a therapist.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, but my, you know, outer circles of friends or extended group of friends, I guess, wouldn't understand all of that part of it. And they think maybe I skipped that part.
Or is it just that you're dating somebody new and talking about them all the time and it's annoying the hell out of them?
Probably. Probably.
God, I wish you'd shut up about him.
Okay, we know. He's awesome. Great.
I hate him.
Get it? The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
You're on The Bert Show.
Yeah, we're live in the Nokia Theater again today, and we got a whole bunch of American Idol contestants from past years that are going to be coming in here today that we'll talk to. Yesterday, a whole bunch of the more recent American Idol finalists made the rounds.
The contestants from this season. Uh-huh. Yep.
And also we talked to Chris Allen yesterday.
Which was cool.
You'll hear from Jordan Sparks in a couple of minutes and about her pregnancy and her little baby boy.
Oh, jeez.
Touching
story.
Oh, my story.
God, Bert. Seriously. Oh, my goodness.
And Bo Bice, who you haven't really heard a lot of since his season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't done a lot of mainstream music, but at least in talking to him yesterday, he does seem like totally at peace with it.
He's a cool dude.
Very cool dude.
And he's still doing his thing in Nashville. So
he was the original Casey James. That's why Wendy likes him.
Like, in your opinion, if this is Hair Idol, who wins? Does it go to Casey James or does it go to Bo Bice?
Well, Bo Bice had the longer hair. So, I mean, going with more recent Casey James.
And he was the original, too. And we had to school him a little bit on the whole Hotlanta thing.
Now he's on board.
Now he's on board. Here's Bo Bice on The Bert Show live from L.A. Let's talk about the Hotlanta hit. Because you can understand this, dude, because you're from the South and all.
Yeah.
You know that we don't refer to Atlanta anymore as Hotlanta.
Why not?
Kind of an old school, like 1982 thing. So we launched this campaign like 6 months ago to rid the city of Hotlanta. So it's sort of our job to educate when someone says Hotlanta from the outside, that now we call it like Atlanta.
Warm Atlanta?
Not even warm. Not even
brisk Atlanta.
Brisk Atlanta.
Like ATL.
ATL.
Or like
yeah, but I figured, it's like the ATL. That for me, because I've got family in Atlanta. You know, I lived in Atlanta and Smyrna for many years in Cobb County. So technically, I think that this is not even relevant to me because I'm able to pull off the Hotlanta because I actually have relatives there and it's hot.
They may stop talking to you if you continue to use that phrase.
Do you promise they'll stop?
I have finally found the way.
That's all it takes.
Well, that's like Nash Vegas. People in Nashville.
See?
Say,
you don't like that? It's the same thing.
I'm from Nashville and I hated that. It didn't make any sense.
I didn't get it either because you know what? I never leave Nashville broke and hungover.
Right.
You know?
That's where you go there aren't to make money, right?
Yeah.
To lose money. Why do they call it that anyway?
I think it's because there's people out there in the world that are idiots.
That's not how we feel
that's the best
about Atlanta. It just feels like it doesn't fit anymore. It's a little dorky. So we're on this campaign. So you're not the only one that we have schooled so vehemently about this. We really, really mean this. And we've talked to every celebrity that we've ever talked to.
John Mayer is on board.
Janet Jackson.
Did he go on some kind of rant about that?
Yeah, he's very upset about
it. He was cool about it.
See, he was hurt.
He went on and on.
He wrote a song.
He's a sensitive guy.
He tweeted.
Very.
He's going to run through the halls of his high school.
Yes.
Ranting about how Hotlanta is not the proper terminology.
So you really lived in Smyrna for a while?
I did. You know, we lived in Smyrna. We lived in Alpharetta for a while. And
how old were you?
I lived in Atlanta from about 4 years old till we were 12. And then we moved to London, England. And then from London,
that's
I moved back.
Shock. Yeah.
Shock.
Yeah.
London to London.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, did you even know you were somewhere different?
You know, I mean, they're so similar, especially the dialect. They're so similar.
Totally.
You know?
What gets you to London from Atlanta?
Airplane.
Oh, come on.
Delta. Don't you know that's the hub out of Atlanta?
Such a southern man comment.
No, my dad worked for Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, but we love it, man. Atlanta's still where my parents live there. And so I get to go back and visit my brother and my parents. And it's like a secondary home. You know, there's if you look at my Wikipedia, which, you know, everyone knows Wikipedia is so right, everything on there. I found out things that I don't even know.
That's how we prep for interviews. I was Wikipedia. I saw you walk through the room. I'm like, ah, crap, Wikipedia.
I was wondering how you figured out I had a third nipple. You know? I was really wondering that. It does. There's so many places that, you know, he's from Atlanta. He's from Alabama. He's from here. And people ask me, where are you actually from? And I don't know. I'm confused. But Atlanta's definitely one of my hometowns.
We need to come up with a new word that combines all the places you're from.
Yeah.
You got Atlanta, London, where else?
Alabama.
Alabama, London. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Nash
Vegas.
Nash Vegas. Not
work. Oh, that's too confusing.
You know what you just did to me? You have created some kind of conundrum in my mind, and I think the wheels have locked up. I don't even... Is there smoke coming out of my ears? That must have been the taco.
So what kind of advice could you give to these guys that are going to be doing their thing in the finale?
Don't screw up.
Yeah.
You know, do good. Now, I always give the same advice, man. I think my advice has more to do with Thursday than it has to do with the finale.
Yeah.
And that's it doesn't matter what the turnout is, what position you finish, first, second, third, fifth. Just know that the following day when this finale's over and there's no more red carpet out front here and the lights have dimmed, that begins the hardest day of work in your life. And from there on, it gets harder and harder. And you should treat it like that, because I think some people get to a point and they go, well, I made it. And you never make it anywhere. You make it to the bottom of the next tier. Mm-hmm. You should always be striving to make it to the top of the next. So that's the best advice I can do. And just always treat people like you want to be treated, man, and don't ever expect it back.
That said, is your musical career now where you envisioned it to be? Is it better where you thought of it? Is it worse, or have you been disappointed?
You know what? I don't ever look at any single... I look at it more like if I was to go back and think about changing any day or thing that happened, the good, the bad, or the ugly, it might change where I am in life. And I think just being a dad and a husband, and, you know, I have my own record label. I put out music that I love. And, you know, hey, would I love to have a Grammy and be top of the charts and to be all that? Yeah, that's cool. That's what you get in the business for. But I think when you start reaching for that and that becomes the end-all, be-all, that's when you start to have a tumultuous time in what you do. For me, I just love every day. I live every minute. And if something good comes out of it, then that's cool. It's bonus, because what I have back home, that's the true good that I have in life. So it's an easy ride, man.
You're a cool dude, Bob Bice.
It's
You're
all
so
lies.
Cool. I'm
it's
almost like wanting to give you a Hotlanta pass, but I can't.
I understand. And hey, I swear to you, this will never happen again. I'm going to be the biggest stickler for this Hotlanta thing.
Thank
I'm going to be the ambassador of Not-Lanta.
Okay. Not-Lanta.
Maybe you've gone too far.
You know,
let's reel it back in a little
it's
bit.
Not Hotlanta.
Right.
And I'm opening the website. You can call and send complaints to nothotlanta.com or .net. We couldn't get not.com. So thanks for y'all's time.
Thanks
man.
For stopping by. Cool, dude, man. Thanks. All right. So then Bo Bice takes off, and then Jordan Sparks comes up. And even before you see Jordan Sparks, you can feel Jordan Sparks in a room.
She's absolutely so bubbly and cute.
She does just have this energy, right? And she's got this hair now, too. So when you turn around, and where's this energy coming from? And you turn around, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
And her hair is sort of just permeating all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She is just stunning. And she was so cool yesterday.
Yeah. She always is cool. And she was, and she hasn't changed in a year.
No morning sickness, no nothing.
She's
the one that confirmed it. Jordan Sparks yesterday.
Bert, you weren't here last time, but Wendy had her Snuggie, and Jordan was very excited to have a Snuggie.
I have one.
Yeah? You got one now?
Snuggie? I take it with me on tour. It's perfect, because sometimes we have a million layovers, and they're like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Pull my Snuggie out, slide under a bench, and I'm like knocked out.
You know what we say about that thing? If somebody came to you with that idea a year ago, and they said, look, Jordan, I just need $10,000 to help me out with this thing called a Snuggie, you'd say, get out of here. I'm not giving you 10 grand, right? I mean, before we knew
it was going to
be
I wouldn't have given the money, but I would have been, I hope you get it.
Right.
There's a big difference between writing a check and going, way to go, kid.
Yeah, I love the idea. This one, 20. Yes, got it.
What happened?
What was that?
Just the dates for the tour. I can't remember what I did last week, so I kind of have to
give
keep
a
it
list.
In front of me.
is this like an Atlanta date?
Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
When is it?
On the Battlefield tour. June 25th.
Let me ask
confidence.
That's cool.
Yes. Awesome.
Let me ask you a question. Is this kind of a snapshot? Because, of course, you guys can't see what just happened, but Jordan here's hanging out with us, and then somebody comes up, I mean, out of nowhere, an arm comes and drops off a piece of paper with the Atlanta date circled to her. But is that kind of a snapshot of how your life goes? Like, when you wake up in the morning, is there somebody telling you what you're doing today, who you're talking to, makeup people there?
When there is a press day, when I have to do some interviews, like in the morning or something, I have a day sheet that I get that tells me like the week ahead of what I have to do. Sometimes it'll actually say day off, nothing, and I'm like, yes.
So you don't even know you have the day off until the day off.
Yeah, it's a little crazy, but it works and it helps because, like I said, I can barely remember what I did last month. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you where I was. So I try and keep something so I can let you guys know the right stuff. So, you know, it's definitely crazy, but this is my last week with a little bit of time off to pack and get ready because I'm going on tour for the Battlefield tour, which I just said June 25th I'll be in Atlanta, which I'm really excited.
I mean, this is your tour. You're headlining, right?
I'm headlining for the first time, yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
That's
congratulations.
Huge.
Thank you.
Huge step. That's so amazing. Who's opening for you?
There's a band called Days Difference that'll be opening up for me. They're really sweet. We did a couple of one-off shows, you know, this past month. And then Kate Vogel will be opening as well. And then when she goes, because she has other obligations, Ashlyn Huff is going to be opening up for me as well.
Cool.
So it's crazy to get used to because I'm so used to, you know, being the opener, the special guest.
Yeah. That's a big step in your career.
How does that process work? Do you choose who opens for you, or does somebody suggest it, or how does that work?
It's both. I mean, I kind of had no idea because there were a lot of people who, you know, aren't really doing music right now or like are on their break, like between recording albums or whatever it is. I kind of wanted, I would have loved to have JoJo with me as well, the JoJo Levesque, you know, get out right now, that song. So I love her. She's so sweet. So I thought she would be a lot of fun, but I mean, she's been out for longer than I am, so I don't know how she would have taken that had I asked her. So yeah. I was like, I'm just going to not go there. But somebody suggested it too, because, you know, there are other artists up and coming that I don't know about. So my management helped me and I listened to their music and asked and everything, and they're all pretty good. So I'm really, really excited to see them.
What has been the biggest surprise and the biggest disappointment for you since Idol? Like, about the industry, I think.
About the industry. Well, from being on the outside, you know, when you read a magazine, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, they said that or something like that. Now it's kind of one of those things like, it's obvious, don't believe everything you read or hear, because everything is hearsay. It starts with one person kind of overhearing a conversation, and they go, like, the other day someone went, Jordan Sparks has a baby? And I was like, where did you get that from? Like, what?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, like, we're going to isolate that line, Jordan Sparks has a baby.
Yes.
And we're going to use that as a promo to get people to listen to your interview tomorrow.
See, it starts like that, and stuff like that does happen. It's a boy.
Congratulations. Aww.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just so excited. But yeah, things definitely get really crazy, and just learning to, you know, you have to keep your guard up because there are the snakes in the industry, but for the most part, everybody's working. We're all doing the same thing. Like, everybody's working. We all have a job. Whether it's a 9-to-5 or it's singing, it's still work. You still have to be away from your family. You still have to make sacrifices. Like, it's still the same thing. So I guess the crazy thing is just being away from my family as much, because I was 17 when I won, and right, just kind of growing up in this and growing up in front of everybody, you know. But I guess the biggest thing, I get to sing for my job. I don't know what can be better than
right?
that. So I'm good. Yeah, definitely.
Well, congratulations. Yes. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to see you. You look fantastic.
Congratulations on the baby boy and the Snuggie.
Thank you so much.
Have a great summer.
Yes. I will. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you in Atlanta when?
Atlanta, June 25th, and I'll be at Six Flags. So
it'll
be fun. So come ride some rides and then
awesome.
Come see me.
All right. And if you have time, come in studio and hang with us too.
No problem. I'll try. Cool. Definitely.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jordan.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear. And it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
This is The Burt Show.
Black boots, black belt, like black belt buckle. He looked like a rock star.
And didn't he have a hat on? A brim hat?
I don't remember. I tweeted it. I'm not sure if he had a hat on or not.
When I saw the top of his head, because Frankie saw him too. So when I saw the top of his head, I didn't see a hat.
Oh, you didn't see a hat?
I don't think he had a hat on.
Maybe the guy in front of him did.
But, you know, I mean, for our job, you got to be in a pop culture, so you got to know who your celebs are, right? So as I'm walking past this guy, I don't recognize him. But the paparazzi are snapping pictures of this dude left and right. I'm like, who? I mean, what band is that guy from? Who is he?
I have a guess.
And then I started to get in the car, and I heard him speak. And then I knew in a minute who it was.
Who was it?
Guess.
Russell Brand?
It was not Russell Brand, but from the back, that's exactly who I thought it was.
That's who I thought it was.
That would have been cool.
That's exactly the picture that I had in my head, so I was actually anticipating seeing Russell Brand as I got around him to see his face.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine Morales.
No way. Oh, you talk about destiny.
My old nemesis.
That's
Constantine Morales. The chances that you and Constantine would be right there together at the same time.
You can't stand that guy.
Well, the back history on this whole thing was
God, that's funny.
Oh my God.
When Constantine was on American Idol, he did, man. He bugged me to the core. I used to talk about him every week and his cheesy kicks and his winks at the camera. He just bugged me, and it was pretty well documented that season, right?
That's great.
So he was making the rounds one year in Atlanta, and he came in studio. You remember that?
Yeah.
And he was actually a cool guy.
And Jeff, didn't you surprise Bert with that appearance?
Yeah, Constantine was in town promoting his single, and I thought it was.
Yeah, I thought he had a concert in Atlanta or something.
Didn't he play Jesus in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat or something like that?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
That's not Jesus, but
what's that?
I said that's not Jesus, but
well, Joseph.
Yeah,
the lead role, and so, yeah, I think.
So he came in studio, and he was actually a really nice guy. He was a cool sport about everything. Mm-hmm. And we actually, you know, we made up. I was straight up with him. I'm like, dude, you've just sort of annoyed me this season. And he was cool about it, and he was a very cool dude, right?
He was.
So I saw him yesterday. I was laughing. I couldn't wait to tell you guys. So, of course, I had to tweet all my friends. And I just tweet the picture, and it says, try and guess who this quote-unquote celebrity is that drew this crowd in front of the Ivy yesterday, right?
Do you think all the paparazzi thought he was Russell Brand?
I'm not sure. Because I was really surprised by the amount of interest that he
I'm
was.
Like,
that
really would have been funny. The paparazzi care about Constantine?
That's funny. They probably thought he was Russell Brand.
Well, Constantine has hardcore fans still, much like all other American Idol finalists.
That's true.
I got this tweet yesterday. Bert Q100, WTF, is with the two, Bert. I thought you made nicey with Constantine M. Your height is ... unfortunate.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What she tweeted to me. So I think I wrote something back, like, I think it is unfortunate. And then before I know it, 15 minutes later, Constantine hits me up.
No way.
What did he say?
He wrote, he was joking, but he wrote,
we'll see you tomorrow, big stud. So I think he's coming here today.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
I love that was him of all the people so in fantastic. Hollywood.
I was totally waiting for Russell Brand, and it was Constantine.
That's great.
He won't go away.
This is The Bert Show.